this week and upload it to the internet.
Yeah.
Okay. Live and somebody got his live. You're listening today, Asa.
Do what?
I liked it upstairs today.
Oh,
it's nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
today and let you know about some of the stuff that's going on. First is we wanted to make sure everybody was aware of our Holy Week services. Those are going to be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. Wanted to make sure if any of you would like to put any flowers on our Easter, Living Easter cross, we'd certainly invite you to bring those on Sunday morning. And then I know that you all, most of you all, be downstairs, but if any of you are interested at all in ordering one of our hydrangeas, you could do that through the office. Then I wanted to let you know that the Mountain View District is going to have a UMW Day Apart. That's going to be a Zoom experience on March the 27th. And the speakers for that are Reverend Sarah Barnell. And then they really pulled out the big guns for the other speaker. The other one is going to be Reverend Asa Majors. So we are happy about them. We can go ahead and give her a round of applause. But we are certainly glad that you are here today. And we just ask that you would join us as we prepare for worship. Let somebody stand.
Minister. Hold your ears, please. If y'all want to sing along with your mask up, go right ahead. To you this morning, Lord, we thank you for another beautiful day, God. We thank you that we're back in your house. Thank you for this church, God. We thank you for everything that you're going to do for us today, God. Just have your will in this service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I would like to mention to you a few of the prayer concerns that we've got today. First of all, Ray Damon had some surgery this past week. He's probably going to have some kind of a follow-up procedure this week. Mitch Robinson is in the hospital, as is Bill Grigsby and Ronnie Malloy. We found out this morning that Nadine Parker probably has got a gallbladder issue, and so she's in the hospital as well. And then we want to continue to lift up Darrison Armadale's grandson, Ryan. I believe he's been transferred to a rehab facility. And then last week we mentioned Teresa Robertson's cousins. She had one cousin, Danny Gorman, who we have since found out passed away. So we want to, and this is from COVID. But then it's got other cousins, Linda and Steve Gorman, and Linda is hospitalized, but Steve is also sick with COVID. So we just really need to be in prayer for this family. And then Susie Dixon, we have found out that she has started dialysis, so we lift her up. And then Marcia Easley is under hospice care. And last week, just before the service, we found out about Andy Aaron's father-in-law, Benny Wolf, who passed away. Ben Stapleton, we had his mother, Paula's service of resurrection on Tuesday. And then I've really been thinking a lot about the families around Austin East High School, all those young people that have been killed. This past week, we heard about the shootings in Atlanta, and so we lived up both of those communities. But we do have something to celebrate today. Every Ivy Samsel, she is the great-granddaughter of Drudy and Bob Server, and the granddaughter of Steve and Janice Samsel, and of that whole clan. We know there's a million of them around, and we don't want to leave anybody out, but I don't know if we can mention everybody. But one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is just an anointing spirit. And so as we go forward in prayer, let us go with that kind of attitude. So would you join me as we come together in prayer? Oh, holy and gracious Father, we thank you for every person in this room today who is a healer. And we know that many of us do not consider ourselves to be healers, but every time that we reach out to somebody in grace and in love, it's as if we have been anointed. We think about the people that are in the hospitals today that are seeking to heal and serve other people. And we believe that you have anointed them for that holy work. We think about the people that are serving every single day in the hospitals that are doing things like cleaning rooms. People that are working in our grocery stores to prepare our food for us. We think about so many people that we maybe take for granted sometimes, and yet you have anointed them with a holy work. Father, we thank you for examples that we see in Scripture of people that were anointed for an amazing kind of ministry. But each of us have been anointed for ministry as well. And we know that your desire is for us to really recognize that all of us are ministers of the gospel. All of us can be instruments of grace and healing. And all of us have been impacted by the life and ministry of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.
With me. It is Psalm 23 that we're reading this morning. So I'm going to invite you to join with me. The words are on the screen if you need a little reminder. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able as we hear the gospel reading this morning from Matthew 26. When Jesus was at Bethany visiting the house of Simon, who had a skin disease, a woman came to him with a vase made of alabaster containing very expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' head while he was sitting at dinner. Now when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, "Why this waste? This perfume could have been sold for a lot of money and given to the poor." But Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said, "Why do you make trouble for the woman? She's done a good thing for me. You always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. By pouring this perfume over my body, she's prepared me to be buried. I tell you the truth, that wherever in the whole world this good news is announced, what she's done will also be told in memory of her." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Would you bow with me in prayer? Holy God, for the reading and hearing of your word this day, we give you thanks. And for the ways in which your word edifies our lives, we give you thanks. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be holy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So a few years ago, a trend started building with a great deal of momentum. It's one that some of you are engaged with in your own homes because I have seen old aliens. I have seen your diffusers on Facebook, or I've heard you talk about what scents you are using to accomplish any given goal. Of course, I'm talking about the essential oils craze. And I've been interested and dabbled a little bit in the use of essential oils, and have been given oils by some church members at times. Like last fall, when Brian had a stomach bug, a sweet oil fairy brought us thieves oil to disinfect our home, and we rubbed it on the bottom of our feet to keep it from spreading all over our house. And then when one of our dogs was dealing with firework anxiety a few years ago, a couple of summers ago, because, you know, 4th of July is like a week in this community, I begged for anything, any way to ease his anxiety, because he was not afraid of the fireworks. He wanted to eat and chase the fireworks, so we needed to make him comatose. So another saint of this church brought me all the calming oils. The aromas were quite pleasant, but I can't say that they worked because, well, he still went crazy. But I certainly know that they did not hurt. So I asked a friend of mine back in my home community. She's an RN, and she's also my coach in my health world life. And I asked her about her experiences with oils because she's an oil consultant. And her explanation of using essential oils made me even more excited about the possibility of the oils in my future. But what I loved about how Emily talked about the oils is that she talks about them as being a very intentional part of her life. She uses every single one of them with some kind of intention. And she talked about the oils as being God's blessing the earth with these amazing plants, and that they help us heal and help us be healthier. She uses the oils to be more responsible for her own health and more responsible for the health of the planet. You see, the man-made chemicals that we use to clean and to care for ourselves often have more problems and have a more negative effect on the planet as well. But Emily also talked about the actual intention behind the oils that she uses on a regular basis. For instance, lavender, of course, is calming. She uses it when she feels anxious. It has a natural antihistamine property, and it can also be used to help soothe burns. Tea tree oil is a natural antiseptic, is used for cleaning, and has antifungal properties. Copaiba is a natural anti-anxiety oil, and then frankincense has properties that allow it to help repair the nerves in your body. So just amazing stuff, amazing plants that God has given us to use. So Emily's experience, and again, I have heard and experienced a little bit of it with many of you, is that these oils add so many health benefits, including physical, emotional, and spiritual benefits. So today we have heard two familiar passages that both deal with oils and anointing. The ancient world used oils in much the same way that Emily has talked about. They were used for healing and for caring for people in their everyday lives. In fact, I have a spray bottle up here. I don't know if you can see it. It's white with kind of a pink and purple. It has lavender and echinacea in it. I spray it on my pillow sometimes when I'm feeling anxious at night. I'm not sure I'm going to get a good night's sleep. It just helps me relax. So we use these to care for our bodies and for our souls. But oils were also used by the ancient Israelites in order to anoint kings and to heal wounds, again, spiritual and physical. But all of this was done to be a tangible reminder. These oils and their aromas and the actual feel of the oils on a person's skin acted as a reminder that God was present with them. Think about those moments when you're cooking and you get oil on your hands. It lingers even after you wash it a little bit, right? It just kind of lingers on you. We are reminded of this each time that we say Psalm 23 individually and as a community. In this psalm, when the psalmist says that the Good Shepherd anoints us with oil, it is a reminder of God's unmistakable care and attention for us. The confirmation that God hears and notices us, even when we are struggling in hard times of life. So when we face the dark valleys, God is there. The psalmist speaks to the oil that is there to remind us that we belong to God. That we are God's anointed children, called and chosen to serve. But then we also have this really beautiful story about Jesus and the woman who anoints him. We typically talk about this woman in our Lenten cycle of worship. This woman, who Matthew didn't even take the time to write down her name, much less engrave it in marble on a statue or above a door, she, Jesus declares, will be remembered throughout time for this one little act. And it's just this one act that we remember her for, because we actually have no other information about her, her name, where she's from, whether or not she was a wife, a mother, whether she was a thief and a liar. We just don't know. All we know of her is this one moment in time, when presumably uninvited, she comes into the home of a leper named Simon and pours oil all over the head of Jesus. So we've heard this story for a long time, right? And maybe even now it almost seems like kind of a silly act that she has done. First of all, who would willingly go into the home of a leper? Who's just going to waltz in uninvited into the home of a leper? They were secluded away from their community because they were unclean. Jesus could have been found in so many other places. Why did she have to go into the home of a leper? Yet finding Jesus in this place and in this time, she knew that Jesus would be there. She knew that it would be into this home that she would find Jesus. So she walks right in and interrupts this dinner. Of course, the table was a place for men. So even her approaching the table was risky for her. Being at the table with Jesus was not a place she expected to be invited to, but I can see her as she squirms her way in amongst the disciples as they recline comfortably on the couches around the table. So she elbows her way into their space. And she elbows her way into their moment. Into this time. And I imagine that all conversations stopped. And suddenly all you could hear were the proverbial crickets chirping. So she unstops this jar filled with oil, and immediately the fragrance overcomes every other smell in the room. And then, with no regard to who sees or who cares, she tips the bottle on its end and she pours this oil over the head of Jesus. She watches as it just declines down his face, probably crawls its way down into his ears. And I imagine the disciples are marveling as it gets tangled up in his beard, and it finally makes its way down to his shirt. It's a stain of oil now on him. The fragrance will leave with him as he goes from Simon's house. It's a fragrant stain that will go with Jesus. And all the while, she stands silent and the disciples sit stunned in silence. All the while, the crickets chirp outside. Now, we know the rest of the story, of course. The disciples get all huffy and puffy about the money, right? Do you know what could have been done with this? And according to Matthew, Jesus interprets this action as her anointing him for his burial. But I can't get away from this actual moment that Jesus is in. Jesus the name of God. And Jesus says, no, that's not what's really happening here. So can't you feel the tension as they cry out, do you know what could have been done? But this woman, she hears Jesus and hears the need that he has as he talks about his own death. And she has encountered the presence of God so deeply and the love of God so completely in who Jesus is that she wants to care for him in this moment. Because Jesus, for the first time maybe in his life, or the first time in a long time, was finally on the receiving end of things. He was usually the authoritative teacher and bringing healing power. But there were going to be so many dark things in Jesus' life that he was getting ready to experience. The bitterness, the treachery, the denial, the tragedy. But this was an action that served as a bright spot in these dark moments to come. So my friend Sarah, who Walter mentioned earlier, that I get to co-preach with in a couple of weeks or next weekend, she and I were talking about anointing the other day, and we acknowledged that we're not exactly comfortable with anointing because, well, as the saying goes, they don't teach you how to do that in seminary. We don't really talk about anointing much in the seminary world and in the pastoring world. They don't tell you about the moment that a woman is going to call you, begging you to come and anoint her dying mother. They don't tell you that the call will come asking you to bring anointing oils for the child with cancer as a final plea for hope and for healing. They don't explain to you in seminary that those dealing with the demons of addiction are going to crave anointing oils. Honestly, we don't observe this biblical act very much in the church today. We don't really acknowledge the practice at all until we come to this moment in Lent when Jesus is anointed. Because we don't know what to do with these types of experiences. But Jesus was anointed by one of his followers because she had experienced God's presence and wanted Jesus to be reminded of God's presence with him and in him. This morning in the early service, we got to do an anointing. We baptized one of our infants, Ireland May Andrist, with the anointing waters of baptism. We named her in God's love and claimed the eternal presence of God with her. While we don't learn how to anoint people in seminary, don't we anoint people in life? I know I talk about this time in my life a lot, but it was very powerful for me. When my father was in the hospital and I was there with him, he would ask me or my mom or one of my sisters to put lip balm on his lips when they felt dry and cracked. And then when he came to a place that he could no longer ask for himself, well, we could just look over and see that it was needed. So we anointed him with chapstick, but we anointed him in our love and in God's love. When my mother used to help me wash my hair as a child, she was anointing me in her love. When you spray a pan with cooking oil to make dinner for your family or a group of friends, you are anointing them in love. When you put aloe on your child who forgot to put sunscreen on to cool their burn, you are anointing them in love. When you have been putting hand sanitizer on your own hands, you have been anointing your community in love to protect it from germs. When you wrap your arms around a friend who has experienced a great loss, or someone you know that has just simply had a bad day, you are offering an anointing, a reminder of love, and a reminder of God's presence. So we anoint daily. Anytime that we are showing signs of love and care for others, we are anointing them. It doesn't take special oils or wild fragrances. It is any moment in which we live into the calling of Jesus Christ to offer hope and healing and love, maybe to those who are in times of struggle or or maybe just those that we have been given to love each day in our homes through the small cares of life. So my brothers and sisters, may you feel God's anointing presence today, tomorrow, and every day. And may we share God's anointing presence today, tomorrow, and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Stand with me, if you will.
church and our congregation, the gifts that you give get to be a part of our anointing, our community, and the world in God's love. And I think the two situations that Walter lifted up, both in Knoxville and in Atlanta, are reminders that our world still needs anointing. Our world still needs the love of Jesus. Our world still needs healing. And our prayer is every time that you enter this place, that you feel anointed by God's presence, and that you feel anointed by the love of this community. And as we go out into the world, may we take that love and just give little anointing.